do my best to speak clearly. I was teasing earlier, I'm going to see how much of the sign language you learned from Fred. That's how deaf people feel when you don't know. That's what Fred said, anyway. But I'll do my best. We're going to try and use the clip-on, and it didn't work, so. I think it was the battery, so I think. So. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you again, Lord, for all the blessings you have bestowed upon us here today in this meeting where we share fellowship and hear these songs and contemplate the wonders of thy working in amidst us lost and sinful world. And Lord, I do pray you help me as I preach and be able to communicate clearly the message, and let us center our attention on Jesus, our Savior, in whose name I pray. Amen. The song that Yvonne gave, I Wonder As I Wander, that's what a lot of people are doing. What's it all about? Our world is beginning, and probably some have already begun putting up all the decorations for the Christmas celebration. And most of the emphasis seems to be on the things that are not so important if you compare Scripture. And kind of the theme this morning is getting it right, having a right Christmas celebration. I mean, we like the tree and the decorations and the lights. Some of you even like eggnog. And presents, I like it too, but I've been told it's not good for me, too rich. But anyway, we like to interchange fellowship and give and receive with our loved ones and friends. But really, it can become a hassle. We get out busy trying to shop and get these things, pushing back and forth. Some folks will spend money they don't have and spend the rest of the year trying to catch up. We have to be careful about that. But we want to see what God has. How can we do it right? I think by focusing our attention on Jesus, who's the reason for the season, as we say, the person of Christmas. I've often tried to explain the gospel in this way, talking to people that don't have much Bible background. I said, you know, the Bible explains to us that Jesus Christ is God the Son who came into this world to die on the cross for our sins. And at Christmas time, everybody knows about Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Not his beginning, but his coming into this world in a body. We call it incarnation, where God became a man. And then at Easter time, we celebrate his resurrection from the dead. He went to that old rugged cross for us. And that's the gospel. And I think that's a good way to explain to some folks, maybe don't have a lot of background in hearing preaching and reading the scriptures as they maybe should have, but didn't. But we know the holidays. How can we understand better what it really means? Of course, it goes by reading the Word of God and contemplating on what it has said to us for our understanding. You know, the Bible is given to us that we might know what God wants us to know. The man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works, is the words of 2 Timothy. And that means everything you need to live for God and prepare for heaven is in the Bible. Amen. Now, there's a lot of things not in the Bible. Well, you don't need them to go to heaven. You don't even need them to live a good Christian life in this world. It may help you in your job, so learn things and in advance. But understand what's most important. I want to look through these verses here this morning and realize a little bit about who Jesus is, not only from the Christmas story, but even before. Our text begins, says, in the beginning was the Word. It does not mean God began, but in the beginning of our understanding of his revelation of himself to us, he was already there. God always is. In fact, it's interesting when God was trying to explain to Moses at that burning bush, he said, go tell them that I've sent you. He said, well, they won't believe. And he said, well, tell them I am hath sent thee. That ever present. And then in the book of the Revelation, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And we understand, contrast that from our perspective. We would have said, I was in the beginning and I shall be at the end. God didn't say that. He said, I am the beginning and the end. He's above all of that. He's eternal. Always has been, always will be. And that's hard for us to comprehend. But that's what the Bible teaches us. And surely we ought to understand that from these scriptures that before he was born in the manger, God was God. And part of our revelation from him about himself is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. In fact, back in Genesis, the first few verses, chapters, it said, let us make man in our image. That's God. He's speaking. Why did he say us? Because the three parts, as we would say, our understanding, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's always been. He came into this world in a body at a certain time in history. Way back some 2,000 years ago or more, we remember the events recorded in scriptures, and by God's grace, we'll be looking at some of those details in the weeks ahead. But he's always been there. He's forever. And we need to realize how that applies to our lives. Even though we're busy at this time preparing and decorating and getting things ready, we had a great Thanksgiving feast the other day, and we'll have a big Christmas meal, hopefully. God bless those things, but don't forget the real purpose. God came into this world as a baby boy. That's amazing. The God who's always been, and he is continually God. He is the Lord God. It says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, there are some who try to deny that. They say, well, that means he became God. No, he is God. He did not become God. He did not begin as we began at our birth. In fact, have you ever thought about the amazing gift God has granted to us as human people? We have the opportunity to come together, husband and wife, and bring forth a new life into this world. What an amazing thing. And God blessed us, many of us, with children, maybe grandchildren. And it's a blessed thing. But those are eternal living people, but they're not always been. They had a beginning. They were born at a certain place and time in history, even as Jesus came into this world at a certain time in history as a baby, but he's always been God from the beginning. And he is the same with God. This is another thing a lot of people try to deny. We call the word the Trinity, three in one. It's the sign, three in one. You know, Fred wants me to teach you sign language. That's a good one. Three in one, Trinity. They came. It's a mystery. How can we understand that? It's hard because it's God. You know, God's above us. He's bigger than us, stronger than us, wiser than us, and more powerful than us. You know, we ought to understand we can't comprehend all about God. We can believe it, though. We can trust God and obey what he said. In fact, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Now, those who deny that Jesus said he was God ought to read that verse and several others. You know, if you read the Bible, it'll get rid of a lot of the arguments that people give. And all the time in my life, I've heard people say, well, you know, the Bible contradicts itself. I said, really? Well, show me. Well, you know, it doesn't mean. So just show me one. I could find some places that are hard to explain, but I'm not going to tell them that. I mean, I don't believe the Bible contradicts itself. I believe the Bible's true. There are some things that are hard to be understood. But they heard somebody say that, so they just say it again. They just copy what they've heard. Why do people do that? I think it's like I heard the quote from Mark Twain. Said, it's not the parts of the Bible I understand that bother me. It's the parts that I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand. And there's two sides to that statement. One, some people don't like what God did. You read about his judgment of the sinful nations of Canaan. We sang about Beulah land this morning. A lot of people think about Canaan and going to the promised land. During the blessing for Israel was a curse on the people that lived there all those years. And yet if you read in scripture, you find God promised that place to Abraham 400 and some years earlier. But he told Abraham, you're not going to get to take it over in your lifetime because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. In other words, God gave them over 400 more years, and they got worse and worse and worse till judgment came. By the way, that's a good warning to us as Americans, isn't it? Judgment will come on nations that reject God. Though his judgment is slow and the wheels of justice grind slow, as the saying goes, they grind exceedingly fine. God knows what's going on. And I believe we don't see some true revival in our land. That judgment's going to be coming not too long from now. Think of all the millions of little children that have been robbed of the opportunity God planned for them to have a life in this world. It's not so bad for them. I believe they're all in heaven. But think about the people who took their life, the impact it's had on mothers and fathers and people that perform the procedures. It has defiled our nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Doesn't matter what kind it is. It's a reproach. Now, I could go on and on with all the sins of America. But the point is, there came a time, God said, judgment time, wipe them out. And that comes. You read in scripture, God used nations to punish others when they sinned. I mean, the greatest example of that is Israel itself. You read the history of the nation of Israel in the Bible. God blessed them and gave them everything they needed and more. And he told them, this is the way, walk in it. And don't learn the bad ways of the wicked people that's living there before you. They didn't listen. They copied the bad ways, got involved in their idolatry, and God judged them, and judgment finally threw them out. And then they came back after many years. Now, they don't seem to go back into idolatry now, but still without believing in the Messiah that we're talking about today. Well, judgment will come. God that judges is God who gives opportunity to be saved. See, that's another part. That's the part a lot of people miss when they're complaining about his judgment on other sinners in the Bible. They miss the fact that he didn't want that. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. Repentance means you turn from your sin and turn to him and trust him and ask forgiveness of him. You know, repentance is more than just saying, well, I messed up. How many times has a person done wrong, got caught? Well, I'm sorry. Really? Really? You're sorry? Or are you sorry you got caught? You know, the little one's got his hand in the cookie jar getting the spank, and he's going to say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. But he's going to try it again unless he truly repents. You know, I really shouldn't have tried to take that, what you didn't give me, Mom or Dad. I should have trusted you. You give me the right thing at the right time and all that. But that's our human nature, isn't it? Always wanting what we want when we want it, rather than when God wants to give it to us or when our parents want to give it to us. So God is righteous, and yet still he loved us. And think about the importance here in our passage. It says not only has he always been with God and was God, the same in the beginning with God, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Life, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. I mean, God made us, not we ourselves, Psalm 100, verse 3 says. And you can go on over in Colossians and read of the amazing description of God's creation and Christ's involvement in it. And there's a little word there I want to notice that I think is so amazing when you consider the implications. There's one little word in that passage, Colossians chapter 1, talking about God and Jesus Christ, verse number 15, who is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or power. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. That word consist. They exist and they stay together. You ever wonder, if you remember from high school science and all of that, they tell us about atoms and how they're put together, and different parts are positive and negative, and I don't remember all the details so much, but I often wonder, what holds it together? I mean, normally positive and negative don't get along too well. There's some attractions and repulsions involved in that. What holds the universe together? Scientist says it's an atomic force. At least one of them said it that way. But the truth is, as far as I have read, is they really can't explain all the details of why it stays together. But I can. God said it would. By his word. Now, I didn't mean I understand the mechanics of it. I don't at all. But he tells us another place in Peter that one day he's going to say another word and all the elements are going to burn up. All the universe, everything, they can make a new heavens and a new earth. What a wonderful picture. God has made everything and he keeps everything together. He has the power and the authority. This world is not my home, we often sing. And that's true, and that's a spiritual lesson. But this world is not ours either. We hear people worried about the environment. That's good. God's given us an opportunity to live in a beautiful place. We ought to take care of it. But it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. And God has given us opportunity to live for a while on this earth and go about and do things. But remember, God made it and God has given it to us. But in an ultimate sense, we're just borrowing it for a while because we can't control it all. Our very life. It's a gift from God. And then it said about this light was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I think that's referring to the incarnation. Look over in Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 8. We see here the explanation of the incarnation from the Lord's perspective, I think, and also from a theological sense. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, at things in heaven, things of earth, things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You see, God did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He paid the price for our sins on Calvary. That involved his only begotten Son, leaving heaven's glory, humbling himself to become a man, caged in a body, if you will, limited to walk and talk on this earth like we do. And yet he was still God. He was God in the flesh. That's why Jesus, in his youth, went to the temple with his parents in their worship time, and he was arguing with the doctors of the law, and they said, "How can you know all this? You know, where'd you get your learning? Where'd you go to school?" Of course, he's God. He knows everything. And that's always amazing. When God teaches somebody, we understand things other people can't figure out how we did it. But that's because God was working in it. He's the master of the creation. He keeps everything together and going to destroy it in his time. But how did he reveal himself to us? He revealed himself to us by coming to this world to die on the cross for our sins. That's a great thing. You know, the world is full of religions that talk about how you can become better and earn your way and become a god. Or some of them, we've been studying in BBI about different religions. Some of them, their goal is to become nothing. I've never comprehended the point of that, except that they think the life is full of sorrow. And so the sooner you get out of it, the better. And they think they're coming back over and over and over to pay for their sins until they finally do enough suffering that they finally die or whatever, do enough good works, whatever the thing is of their karma. And the Bible tells us, God loved us, Christ died for us, He's promised us eternal life that begins when you're saved and continues forever in heaven. People that are lost have been given a type of eternal life, an eternal soul that begins at birth but continues in hell forever. See, that's the point of the importance of Christmas. It's not just a story about a baby in a manger. That baby is the way to have forgiveness of sins and heaven rather than the burden of sins and hell. You say, well, that's awful harsh. Well, that's true, but that's the truth of God's word. He wanted to give life to us. You know, people act like they're really alive when spiritually they're dead. Ephesians chapter 2 and talks about he hath quickened us together who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, you talk to your normal person that's not a Christian, not saved. Well, they think they're alive because they're walking and talking and breathing. Physically, they are. But spiritually, have they come to know God? Who to know is life? Well, not yet. But they have opportunity while they have physical life to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Then they have that everlasting life that ends in heaven. Jesus came that men might be born again and make us a new person in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, I'm going to read it because it just went out of my head. I apologize. I know that verse very well, but I'm having a little problem today. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That means God gives you a new life. He gives you a life worth living, a self fit to live with, and a faith fit to live by, and a purpose fit to live for, somebody wrote. I like that. A self fit to live with, a faith fit to live by, and a purpose fit to live for, a goal in life. There's a song once in a while I sing. I sought a flag to follow, a cause for which to stand. It's a beautiful song. And the chorus is, I found them all in Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. Do you know him? He is the source of eternal life. He's the only way to heaven. He said that there's no way to heaven except by Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John chapter 14 tells us. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John chapter 8. He wants to open our eyes, to turn us from darkness unto light, from the power of Satan unto God, that we might receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith that is in him. That's Acts chapter 26. I'm going to conclude by just pointing our eyes to Jesus, the reason for the season. How can you have a right Christmas? By remembering who it was that gave us the purpose. God so loved the world that he gave. I think that's why we have gifts at the Christmas season. God loved and he gave. We give an example of that, but think of this. God gave the greatest gift, his only begotten Son, God the Son, to the greatest amount of people for the whole world, for the greatest result, that we might be saved and go to heaven forever. What a wondrous thing. Keep Jesus in your mind this time. Stand together as we have our invitation.